Forgive me for being momentarily sort of stunned to silence there, but are you telling me that you spent over £1,000 on two little tiny pedals for a pushbike? Is that what you're saying to me? Look, you don't understand. You don't understand. These are not just pedals. These are Garmin RS200s, dual-sided meters with data sync to all apps on my bike, to all apps on my computer, to apps everywhere, the Bluetooth, the ANT. They give me a reading as to the power that I'm using in my calves and my legs, all muscles. All this is, this what you see is a work in progress that it will tell me every sort of stretch of sinew. I can't believe what you've done. So what else is in these most, these fancy little chocolate boxes? They're the most fancy box I've ever seen in my life. What else is in there? Well, there's a chain set sprocket and, you know, ceramic speed OSPW sensor, you know, slick sham. It's, well, how much does that little thing cost? There, that fancy little thing. That's £1,849.99 it comes in at. It's a bargain. A bargain? The thing's not as big as my finger. It must, what does it weigh? It can't weigh anything. It's, that is a ceramic oil feed. You know, it's, but, oh my God. But what's the rest of it stand at? Well, you're looking at probably £6,000 for all this that's in front of you, what you see here. I mean, oh, heaven's sake, I can't believe what you're doing. I mean, what's the cost of this bike? What's the build cost of it? Well, it could be £15,000-£20,000, just depends. I mean, I'm putting it together, as you see, from boxes that are coming through the post and everything, you know, that I'm buying in. How are you affording it? Well, it's all on HP. It's interest-free credit. It's not interest-free. That's a gimmick for a man with 2 degrees and God knows how many qualifications. You don't understand what they're doing to you. This is just a slow drip forever. No, no, no. Anyway, it's got to be done. What do you mean? Why has it got to be done? This is madness. Why has this got to be done? You've got three bikes there that are standing you to £31,000. There. You've ordered another one, so this thing's going to cost 15. I mean, this is £45,000 of kit and caboodle that sat around in a tiny, tiny garret flat. You've taken over, not just, I'm crushed into one corner here, you've taken over the entire flat with your kit and caboodle. You've got rid of every piece of furniture to that side, including your bed, including all your wardrobe and everything. You've put outside, there's nothing left. You've turned that side of the flat, this tiny garret flat, which is four floors up, I might add, into a bike shop, come workshop. And you're bringing these things up and down, these tiny narrow stairs. You've marked all the walls. And apart from that, you've turned the, what was that spare, you know, cupboard there, pantry or whatever it used to be. You've now, that's a walk-in Lycra wardrobe. I've never seen so much kit and caboodle. You must have got 30 pairs of shoes that are up. You don't understand what I'm doing. I don't. Why don't you just run me through what you're trying to do, apart from to crush me? Are you sure you just don't want me to leave so you can have all of it? You know, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, everything's on. You've got that many bike tyres on the landing hung up like snake skins that are, I mean, how much are they? They're £100 each and you must have got 50. Why have you got 50? Why do you need 50? These things. I mean, I'm having to go through them as though they're like skinned snakes. Every morning I'm going through these things that you're taking on and off all the time. You're not using anything. You've got more kit and caboodle than the Sky team itself. Your brother was right. You're all the gear and no idea. You've hardly used these things. All you're doing is stripping them down and building them back up. You now got this thing that you're building from ball bearings, minutiae, up. I mean, this is what you did with the last fetish come fad. Do you remember the tennis fad? And before that, there was the mountaineering fad. I mean, you had the rackets, you had 10 rackets that were, seemingly adjusted. They were just like what Nadal had. They were £4,000 each, weren't they? $4,000 or something. $5,000 each. I mean, you were playing on a municipal court in the Valley Gardens, and you've got all this Donne kit with you. Wilson, whatever it was, you've got all this kit, you know, that's stretching back to the horizon. You nearly had a mule train to bring the stuff, and you're just on a municipal court there. The only thing you did was to lose your temper constantly every time you went out. You were banned from every other club for bad behaviour. That's why you were on the municipal court. You even dislodged someone's... broke someone's jaw and dislodged a what did it you dislodge? Oh, the retina on Titchmarsh. You know, because you were hitting the ball so hard. I am a serious competitor of every sport I go into. Do you understand? Apart from that, I look sensationally gorgeous too. So what's looking gorgeous got to do with it? You were beaten by a geriatric who's 4 foot tall with his hands in the air, you know, and has got two hip replacements. He beat you up at Plantation Road there. Gay Graham was a charlatan. All Gay Graham, he specialised in false serving, false placing of balls. What do you mean false? He won the game fair and square. There were the umpire, you know, he didn't. I wanted someone to play a real game of tennis. All Graham was a geriatric that placed the ball. He was good at sort of foxing you. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not about being looking gorgeous with, you know, $5,000 Wilson rackets, which I might add, you jumped over the net and hit him with it. That's why you were, you know, and battered 20 balls into the sky, which rained down on children in a nearby school. You know, this is why you... Oh, anyway, where's the kit and caboodle that you had there? And where's the mountaineering gear that was, you know, the last two fetishes? They're in my brother's garage. So they're in there in the damp garage just rotting away then. Well, I've given some away. So you've given thousands upon thousands of pounds of the stuff, or you've scrapped it. I just can't believe you. I mean, is that... Well, I left some in the boot of Jack's car, but I mean, that was repossessed and sold at auction. So you lost thousands of pounds of the kits just in Jack's car because you couldn't be bothered going across to get it out. Well, I didn't need it. So this windsurfing, scuba diving, everything then, you must have had £250,000 of fads and fetishes since I've known you. And we are living hand-to-mouth, I might add. Four stories up in a rented, you know, garret, squalid flat that we look like getting thrown into the street from, and you... You've bought another bike, and we've been given notice on the flat. I mean, where are you going? What do you mean, where am I going? You've got to, just because things are taking a turn for the worst and we might be thrown out, doesn't mean I give up my positive mental attitude towards my life. I mean, you look at you, you're drifting around like some shambling hobo. You never spend a thing, you're a miser. You're like some Takapuna tramp or something. I mean, that's what your nickname was. I suppose that's what we should all do, is it? Follow your example and just spiral down into, you know, destitution and degradation. Well, no, but are we all going to follow your example and just spend every last dime and walk around in spandex or lycra? You're sleeping in the stuff as well. I mean, Jesus Christ, you'll be buried in the stuff. Have you bought some of this lycra to get buried in as well? I have planned my funeral. Unlike you, I do plan in advance. I don't just, you know, throw a tantrum on what's placed in front of me. I plan. Well, what have you planned? Can you please plan as a way out of this utter nightmare scenario of you know, shall we say, being pobos on the street? Can you plan me a way out? And when you say you've planned your funeral, what do you mean by that? What have you done? Well, I think I'm going to have a Buddhist funeral, a Buddhist sort of burn, or, you know, where I'm going to have monks lining the street and chanting, mantra chanting, And I shall be wearing, you know, I don't know what sort of, I think I'll have a cardboard, a very expensive cardboard, but a green coffin. And, you know, I'll be wearing a white tie dinner suit that's been measured and made for me at Jeeves and Hawkes. London. Number one, Savile Row. You've put forward that you're having a white tie dinner suit that's going to be burnt. Yes, I want to look elegant. It'll be an open coffin. I don't want to look just like you, buried in whatever, you know, buried in sackcloth or something. I want to look an elegant corpse. I can't believe you. I just cannot believe. I want a bespoke burial or burn, and I want to look $1 million. You, but you're dead. It doesn't matter how you live and how you die. Jesus, you think you were Tutankhamun. So you've had Jeeves and Hawkes measure you up for a white tie dinner suit to be buried in that's going to be burnt, that'll cost thousands. It doesn't matter. This is where me and you differ so much. You're too right, we differ so much. You are completely OCD, just like your father was. All he did was furnish fetishes. Well, it still is. I mean, what's he up to now? I bet he's involved in another monstrous fetish, isn't he? My father is one of the most brilliant intellectuals that you'll ever come across. And yes, he also wants, he pushes towards perfection. I bet he went through all the bikes and everything, didn't he? And tennis and God knows what. You're repeating exactly the same mistakes, him. That's why his marriage and everything went down the pan. And that's why they carted him off to the nut house. No, but he is involved at the moment. I mean, to him, it's like, it's a bit like a sort of a, I don't know, it's a religion. You don't understand that when you take on something, you've got to give it every single, you've got to really polish perfection and stand on a podium. I see. No matter what it costs, no matter, you know, time, money is meaningless, but mainly money. It's amazing that none of your things, these ideologies and worshipping of, it's mainly worshipping wealth, I've noticed. The Lord God Avarice always comes into it. You never do anything sort of cheaply, do you? I mean, your father, what's he worshipping? Books. Books. What sort of books? Ancient Greek, Aramaic, very, very old books. What for? What's he now doing? He's putting together his own religion. He's not happy with the 5,300 that he can choose from. He's building his own. That's typical, isn't it? That is absolutely typical. And what's he done? What's he doing about it? He's built a church, marble temple that he gets, shall we say, he gets in the spirit of things. So he gets, and I suppose he's flying around in silken robes and throwing himself down on, it'll not be just cheap marble, will it? It'll be some sort of Carrara pink marble or something that he's throwing himself down and, you know, prostrating himself down there. Scripts, candles, all the rest of it. Yeah, all the lot. Oh, yes. Yes, and he recites, you know, what he's writing and what he's doing. He's practicing, and he's writing his own hand written on vellum. Vellum! Does anybody make vellum these days? I mean, that's another thing. Why does he need to write it on vellum? So that it lasts. This is what the scriptures used to be written on. That's why we still have them. And this is what he wants. 2,000 years from now, he will want people to discover his religion. It won't be about 2,000 years from now. The planet itself will be gone. This is what I mean. Why is he writing his own religion on vellum? Why can't he just do it on normal paper like I do? Because yours will have faded or scrapped into infinity in no time at all in the first rain or the first change of season. Yours will have mouldered away. I see. I tell you what, like father, like son, you know, a nut job does not fall far away from the asylum, does it? Mm-hmm. These fetishes come fads. I mean, these pursuits, they just used to be hobbies, you know. But now you and your father and many others have created what is now a complete worshipping of what was a simple, just keeping fit on a push bike like I used to do. It just used to be a simple climb on your bike, go cycle, that was that. Now you're worshipping, you've got these things hung up like some sort of icons of glittering, and they're just carbon fibre. They're not made of gold, you know. It's more expensive than gold, some of these parts. That little part that you've just held in your hand there is actually more expensive than gold, weight for weight. You see, this is the thing. I mean, you're like some sort of... You're like the Incas used to be, where they worshipped feathers. They gave away the gold, and they thought the feathers were just so valuable. This camaraderie of worshipping, this carbon fibre clubs that you've joined is basically what it is. It is a worshipping carbon fibre church. You will be building a church, no doubt. I mean, most of this stuff that you've got here has never been out of your bedroom. Your shoes, your everything. It's just a worshipping... I can see now why the Muslims and the Islamic faith destroy everything that, you know, other cultures might want to falsify and worship, because they can see the insanity in this, you see. They don't have clothes, they don't have this, they don't have that. You've got stuff in there that's, you know, thousands of pounds. You've got to feel inspired. You've got to become part of the spiritual essence of things, a sort of worship and meditating in cathedrals of your own. No, you're not in a cathedral. You're in a garret flat, four stories up, surrounded by hanging pieces of carbon fibre. It is not a spiritual belief system, and it should not be motivated by money. Do you not understand that? The next thing, you're going to be surrounded by sprockets or something and mantra chanting non-stop to them. I'm going to come in here one day, and you're going to be burning incense and holding one part of these things and holding it out to me. I can see, and you will have gone completely barking mad. Your ideology is just avarice. You're worshipping avarice. It's like the church gold and silken robes that these churches are now died away into nothingness. Even Catholicism is dying away, because it's just a glitzy bling ideology, and people don't realize that it's just the spirits of things have gone totally wrong, and this is what you are. You're going fanatically, obsessively in the pursuit of something precious. The idea of sport and cycling, as in a sense, is to keep fit and to... Do you understand that? It is not to come in here and fall to your knees and pray to the bits and pieces in the brand new Lycra dress. Remember what Claudio Monteverdi said? The music is the master. We are merely the servant of it. That's what you should be. Well, why don't you practice what you preach? I do practice what I preach. I'm a writer. I am engaged in literary. I produce. I give everything away. Well, that's your stupidity if you want to give it away. But do you not understand? Once it's finished, once I've written things... I mean, if you were writing things, you would need to be dressed in... You'd probably go and buy, I don't know, something like Oscar Wilde's pajamas or something, and all his pens that he ever used. You would have to do that. You'd have to go and buy that. You'd have to use Oscar Wilde's pen that he, you know, wrote a certain play like The Importance of Being Earnest. You wouldn't be able to write anything unless you did that. Your father can't. Your father's been a bookworm forever and a day. He's never written anything. Now he's going to write a brand new religion for everybody. Oh, isn't it marvellous? All you guys are furnishing and polishing is a massive, massive ego. I mean, your father is doing something here that he thinks, you know, there's 5,300, God knows how many religions. And he thinks, what if we all wanted to write a religion for ourselves? We'd have millions upon millions, billions, a billion messiahs walking around, would we not? To the point where it would become banality and idiocy itself. Yeah. No. You don't understand. Not many people can do what my father wants to do. If he wants to become the next, you know, messiah. A messiah. Yeah, but he can't be because he's not a genius or anything. He's not... You know, he's not like Mahatma Gandhi or anybody like that, even though he's trying to be that. Do you see where I'm going with this? It's just his own ideology and his own ego that's he's polishing. Well, he's put together, you know, many moral codes. His commandments are there, his seven deadly sins. Commandments? Well, what sort of commandments? What's secular? I mean, it's got to be secular. It's not sacred, is it? Because he's not religious, is he? He's not choosing any other religion, so it's a secular commandment. What's he put together? Something what? Well, his commandments. I mean, well, what are they? Greed, avarice, what are they? I mean, commandments of a crap pound? Oh, charming, isn't it? Everything's got to be brought down to gutter level with you, hasn't it? Well, what commandments has he put together? What are they? Let's face it. You know, has he come up with... Has he atoned for any sins yet that he might have committed? Or does he feel that he's never really committed a sin and he can write these down, no problem whatsoever? What has he put down? Indulgence, wisdom, reality, love, responsibility, gratification, you know, that sort of thing. I see. Have you ever thought of putting any commandments together that people could, you know, live their lives by? I have, in actual fact, but I've not actually thought too seriously. What I've thought about is putting down that, you know, and a lot of these do sort of suit you. I always, as you see, I always sort of, I don't self-flagellate, but I take a lighter view. I mean, well, what commandments would you write down for me if I had to read them each morning, if yours? Well, for both of us, not just for you, for most people, I would put down that you're a monster pervert, colossal glutton, a sexual deviant, pathological liar, satanistic weasel, psychopathic narcissist, masochistic sadist, compulsive hedonist, and a congenital idiot. Oh, charming. Oh, that's great, isn't it? And what about the seven deadly sins? Well, the seven deadly sins, as far as I can see, is your absence of wit, unreliable temper, selfish savagery, distemperate drug-taking fiend, sex pest and sexual psychopath or something like that. But, oh, marvellous, isn't it? So you've put these down for me. That's great, isn't it? You know, let me just sum it up for you, what's happening here. You are suffering from a midlife crisis, okay? You don't realise that. You've become paranoid, OCD and exceptionally narcissistic. Instead of fueling it, you're giving it oxygen to burn. Your father is still giving it, this problem of his, oxygen. The problem is you are OCD, selfish narcissists, and you have not addressed the problem that you're carrying. You need to go and see a shrink. I mean, as he's been in the funny farm for long enough, and this still hasn't killed and cured it. So it needs addressing again. I have my problems. I know what I have. But I am going to try and address the problems. I'm not going to mask them by wearing spandex yellow bedwear, which I might add, you look like some sort of, deviant drag queen every time you... And what's with all the monstrous, monstrous face fuzz constantly? Is that because you're losing your hair? You see, everything that you throw at people has to be a slingshot of injury. No, it's reality. What I'm firing at you is insight. Slingshot, he says, I'm using a slingshot of truth to try and get you to understand and to actually do something about your problem, not give it fuel to feed. Okay? No, I'm going to continue as I am, and I am going to be buried in a white tie dinner suit. Fine. I've wasted my time. Fine. Off you go. Cheers.